Good morning, Lucy Clements from Ventilette. Thank you for joining the Wine Show Australia.
Thank you for having me.
There has to be a certain element of, you know, professionalism that what we do, Lucy, and that's what we're about to talk about. Lucy, it's lovely to have you back on the show. And we had you on in, it was October 22.
Yes, so, a long time ago.
Yeah. And you had just left Accolade and started this new venture that obviously you had been working on for a while. So I thought it'd be a great time to get you back on to give us an update as to where you're at and share the, you know, the challenges and the awesomeness that you've come across. So I'm going to hand over to you. How's the last year and a half treated you?
Well, what an amazing ride. I have to say it's been wonderful and more exciting and more challenging than I ever would have considered. So I have to thank my stars. I've made it all work in that, I guess. I'm still doing what I'm doing. So the shape of the business has changed quite a lot, actually. What I originally set out to do was more classical consulting, and although I have done an awful lot of that to wineries, for wineries, and I still do. I still have a giant client that I consult to very proudly in the Riverland. Actually have had a stonking vintage in the Riverland, I have to say. Most of South Australia, as you would have heard, has had a cracking vintage. And
yes,
certainly the same can be said for the River. It's been gorgeous. So so that's a great pleasure. But the other part of the business that has really grown and has probably attracted more of my attention than I ever realised it would, happily so, has been the imports side of the universe. So I wandered off to Provence in the April after I'd spoken to you. So wandered off to Provence, hired a car and had a couple of wineries and wines that I had previous connections with from my buying days in the UK. And I was just like, let me see, I might just go start importing. Like, it was kind of that naive. and I
give it a go. The whole thing is
Exactly. And I sort of stumbled upon this beautiful domain in the outsides of Aix-en-Provence, and then I found another producer in the Lirac, and those wines are now in Australia, coming exclusively through me. So it's been largely self-taught, which has been fun with some really helpful people along the way. But now I've got another container about to leave France, which has full of new Burgundies, new Beaujolais. I've got a new Bordeaux that's going to be coming, which is made in concrete tanks, which just tastes like the fresh Bordeaux that you really want in your glass. And I've got some, I've got a magnificent German Pinot Noir producer, or Spätburgunder producer, from the R coming in, which is made by this awesome woman called Julia. So, yeah, there are some. It turned out that tapping into that old life of being a buyer, combined with all of the business skills that I got when I was working at Accolade, has been really happily converging now in Ventilect, which is probably half consultancy and half wine imports. So, yeah, it's been a ride.
That is awesome. And I guess you kind of just got to roll with the punches, right? And the good and the bad, like, see where things take you. I mean, you know, you have a particular idea of what Ventilec was going to be, but then other things just, you know, present themselves. You've got to go with it. So it's great that you've been able to merge, as you say, the nous you got from Accolade, the marketing side of things, that sort of a corporate side of things, mixed with everything else. And then, of course, your network is quite enormous. And tapping into all of that and merging it, that's wonderful. Can I just ask, you'd say, you know, I guess stemming from the fact that, you know, you spent a lot of time in the UK and in Europe, but it was always meant to be about European wines and bringing European wines to Australia. Why that without there also being a focus on Australian wine? Is it, you just feel like enough people are doing that, or what?
Well, to be honest, it's kind of, I mean, I adore Australian wine and, you know, I drink Australian wine all the time and absolutely love it, but it's back to my roots and what I really spent so much of my career doing. And ultimately, I mean, I believe, I'm sure you believe this as well, as many people will, wine is about people and place and stories. And so much of my formative years was spent wandering around in France, wandering around in Italy, wandering around in Spain, finding wines, meeting people and connecting. So really, I suppose that's what I know better than even Australia. When I came back to Australia 8 years ago, I had a huge set of connections from my university days and from my working days, but I didn't have anywhere near the breadth of connections that I have across Europe. So I suppose, and it's those discoveries, those uncovering those wines that have never been seen before. I think it's sort of the thrill of the chase. And then finding out that, you know, through negotiations or through talking, you can get the wines exclusively is part of that thrill of the chase. So I think, and I speak French, so I'm doing almost all of this in French, which is also really lovely. So like turning on another part of my brain, which is a skill I'm very, very grateful now to have. Not one that I use very often.
It's helpful.
Or writing emails. Exactly. So, I think sometimes, and I think I heard Gary Vaynerchuk say something like this, that you'll know you're on the right path when it feels easy. Although there's nothing obviously about running a business that's easy, but my heart is soaring and singing on another level when I'm pootling around France and connecting to someone who has been recommended to me by another friend who's in France or in a wine shop in Paris. And I was in Paris in February for Wine Paris, which is a really amazing show, by the way. I can strongly recommend that. I was there wearing multiple hats at Wine Paris. And then I'm in a wine shop and I see something that we don't have in Australia. It's just really the thrill of the chase, which I love, and the European element. And it is so much a contrast to what I do the rest of the time. So I think as someone who gets potentially bored easily, and probably a lot of us who fall into that bracket, it's nice to be able to do multiple things. And actually, that's what I loved when I was working at Accolade, because I was running so many different wineries that there was always something different. And actually, this space that I inhabit, which is way more than full-time now, and, you know, I'm on my way to the office in a minute, is also just... Every day is totally different, and it's such a brilliant ride. So, yeah, it's lots of fun and very, very hard work.
Well, look, that's exactly what I was hoping to hear. I mean, the hard work was an obvious one, but that you are really, really enjoying it. And obviously it has changed hands a few times. Tell us about, like, this is a great opportunity to really spruik Vintellect. Tell us about the brands you actually have in your portfolio. Go kind of like a little bit in depth.
Okay, thank you. That's a really sweet opportunity. Well, Domaine d'Arbusset, which is really the key brand that's coming in from Lirac, and I've just bought their brand new Chardonnay to Pape. So d'Arbusset is run by Julien Girard, this beautiful superstar French couple who I know through friends of friends from UK days, been to their home, met their little boys. They just own these little tiny plots of land, all biodynamic or in conversion to biodynamic. And the Chateauneuf, for instance, is their plot is right next door to Chateau Reyes. They are on the cusp of something quite amazing from a notoriety point of view. They've just been picked up by a new agent in Paris who's a bit of a kingmaker. Like, he's made Dovasat and Ravenau and those sort of things, and he doesn't take on clients very often. So it's really, I feel incredibly lucky to get an allocation of these wines. And at the moment, we've got a Cinso. Or Vedra, they only make 800 bottles of each year, adding to that the Chateauneuf, and they've got some really stonking Tavel Rosé, which is definitely a very much harder sell, but they are glorious wines. And I'm always interested to see how much Clos Tiburon you see in the market, and this is sort of similar to that. So d'Arbusset is tiny but perfectly formed, and how often do you see... 100% since. So now you're seeing them from South Africa, and this is sort of the French version. It's a higher altitude version. So it's beautiful. What else have I got? The rosé is coming from a domain called Pays Blanc in just on the edge of Aix-en-Provence. It was Gabriel inherited it from his father, and it's all terroir domain fruit. So it is unlike most Provence rosé. And I was really, I think I said this last time, I was really hunting for, because rosé can be so, so, so premium, but so much of what we see is quite mass market. And although it's delicious and quaffable, or swimming pool wine, as they call it in France.
Yes.
Rosé de piscine, which is so cute.
That's
so swimming pool wine. But I was kind of hoping to find something that wasn't a swimming pool wine and actually showed some sense of place. So Pays Blanc I found quite accidentally, went out and saw the guys, and they just make these crazy good quality wines. Like, everyone that tastes Pays Blanc goes, whoa, this is totally different to the rosé from Provence that we see, because it is just so much more intense. The colour is just as pale, but so intense in flavour. And that's really the terroir that they're sourcing from. But what I love about these guys at Pays Blanc is they just do this. I've seen this in the Napa before as well. They spend all their marketing money essentially on doing these giant parties. So you don't see them advertising. They just do these giant parties. And they do one up in the snow in Chamonix, and they do one at the winery, which is I need to go to one day, obviously. And they just, it's all about extremely high quality levels of fun. But the wines are very serious. So, I mean, they've got a whole portfolio. They've got a couple of whites made from Vermentino. They've got some gorgeous reds. At the moment, we're just bringing in the rosé, and they've just created, thankfully, like they read my mind, they've just created an oaked rosé. So super premium, small production. That'll be on the next container. So that's two. Domaine Roger Bellon from Burgundy, Dufour Le Frère from Burgundy. You've got a beautiful domain called Gunter Cheryl, which is in Muscadet, bringing in some super crispy Muscadet wines, but also again terroir, run by Aurora, the most beautiful woman. She's just divine. I've got a new Sancerre from Didier Rimbaud, which is, there are lots of Rimbauds in the Sancerre region, but Didier's wines are pretty crazy. It's again very specific old plots that they've had for years, many generations. And it's actually their Sancerre Rouge, their Pinot Noir, which are almost the highlight of their portfolio, which is
really
great.
Rouge. Interesting. Yeah. That is something I have not tried. Tell us more about it. Like, what are you tasting?
Well, it's weird because you normally get good ones that are made into rosé in Sancerre, but Sancerre Rouge. So you get, it's Pinot Noir, but with surprisingly a little bit more body, and sometimes there's a bit of thermovinification involved, so a little tiny bit more probably fruit by body, I mean, but still with that icy sort of icy edge that you'd expect from Sancerre. Like, the acidity is still really cutting and crisp. So you get this crunch, freshness. They're probably more akin to really smart Beaujolais than they are to Pinot Noir that we know. So, but just divine. And all of these reds that I'm talking about are actually relatively unoaked. And that's kind of a theme that's accidentally arrived in the portfolio of, you know, reds that just have a lighter touch. A lot of the wines are biodynamic and made by women, and that, again, is just a theme that's accidentally arrived, but is a lovely theme to have. As you know, France is ultra, ultra biodynamic, and a lot of premium producers are either already there or in conversion, and organic and whatnot. And if it means that the wines taste better, then really I have no judgment about how they've got to that point. But it's just that respect for the soil. Couple of really good Beaujolais, Domaine Valma, Domaine Père Puiset, which is a tiny 5-hectare place. Valma is a Beaujolais led by Lieu Di, so they just have their individual plots, very high-end, only available in the US, outside of France at the moment. I think they might have a little bit in the neighbouring countries from France. But, yeah, a lot of these wines have never come to Australia before, but it's small stuff. You know, I might be able to get 10, maybe 5 cases of some of this, especially the high-end Burgundy. I mean, Roger Bellon has got tiny plots of Criolle, Gata, Montrachet and things like that. So I'll get little bits of those, but not a lot. So, there's more, and there's more coming. I've got a new distribution deal in the works through the eastern states, which is going to be exciting. With some really good folks over there. But the wines are all exclusive and national. So, yeah, It's a ride, right? I've had to sort of teach myself how to do this with some lovely collaborators along the way, and I owe a lot to a very, very good mate of mine in Melbourne who's a great source of inspiration to me as well. Who works in the online trade. Alex Hudak. He's a really good mate of mine. We met during the MW, and he's always really helpful when he's talking about, you know, which sort of places might want these sort of wines and whatnot. So he knows Melbourne inside out. It's just learning as I go, joy at every turn. But it's definitely taken a lot longer than I expected it to have taken, Jill.
look, I think these things always do. You know, it's like when you're given a budget, right? It's always going to blow out. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, exactly. I calculated the cost of a new container the other day, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of money on that container. So, but it's good fun. And what I love as well, I was in Botanic with Elle and Julius, the sommeliers at Botanic, the other day, talking to them about the new German wines and a few other bits and pieces. Oh, a pick pool, the Pinot, made in an amphora. How exciting is that? From Domaine Belmet. It's like, wow, amphora, and the wines are so good. So I was talking to those guys, and really, I think there's this beautiful convergence, especially when you're in a restaurant like Botanic, which is very Australian-focused as far as food goes, you're celebrating the native cuisine.
Sure.
It's when you can have... Someone said to me, you know, who wasn't with me in the room, said to me, shouldn't they, if they're so Australian-focused in their food, shouldn't they have a 100% Australian wine list? And I was like, well... You know, maybe. I mean, there are lots of restaurants that do that, but really I think what wine does so well in those on-trade settings is it just amplifies and paints food in neon colours when you put the right wine with it. So really those flavours are so different from all over the world. So you kind of need them there, and different people want different things. If you're eating in a restaurant that costs you as much money as Botanic does, and it's worth it, by the way, you've eaten there? Have you been there, Jill?
No, I haven't actually been there, but I do know the menu, and I've had this... I did have some... I had Luella Matthews on not long ago. You would know Luella. Yeah, so she kind of covers a lot of those. Yeah, so we spoke kind of like at length about Botanica. It's a must try for me for sure.
Clearly not paid for this, but yeah, it is an insanely beautiful experience. But it's right up there with the best. But yeah, there'll be people in there who, if you're paying that sort of money, you'll also potentially want Grand Cru Burgundy and things like that. So yeah, of course they have to have it on the list. But I think there's a beautiful connection between the wines from Australia that we have that talk of our terroir, and I've said terroir 100 times. Because it really is the most important thing as far as I'm concerned. Yep. And then you've got wines from all over the world that also, if they're speaking of their terroir, then that's a perfectly complementary and reasonable and balanced place to be on a wine list. So, yeah, so I kind of live between the wines of Australia and the wines of Europe pretty squarely in the middle somewhere.
Look, it sounds like a pretty nice place to live. And look, what it does sound like is you're very much involved in the exclusive wine side of things. I mean, some of the names that you're just rattling off, and also, of course, the limited amounts that you can actually get. And that's a great way to position yourself, of course. You know, there are loads of different ways for us to get excellent wines these days through auction houses or whatever it is.
Correct.
You know, but we've got some wonderful importers of amazing wines at great prices, but you're still setting yourself up with that niche. So
I don't know if any of that was on purpose, right? But I have I have so much respect for the big, you know, the big and small importers, all of which I know, all of which I love their ranges. There's not as much of that going on in Adelaide, though, I have to say. So, you know, bringing some different wines into Adelaide is definitely an opportunity. Andrew Gard doing amazing things, Vivant doing amazing things, you know, Mezzanine's portfolio. Everyone's got these crazy great portfolios, right?
Yeah.
So really all I can do is offer a slightly, just a slightly different portfolio of beautiful, real expressions of real places, and hope that there are going to be sommeliers that are going to engage with that, or wine shops that are engaged with that. I definitely cannot compete with those and the big guys, you know, Negs, who do,
and just, you don't need the kings to
do an amazing job. Exactly. But it's just a little different. It's a little different style, and there's place for everyone. Wants great wine at the end of the day at good prices. So what you're going to go and do. So
that's what it. That is it.
Yeah,
well, Lucy, exactly. I'm so happy to hear that things have, as you say, you know, it's hard work and it's not exactly as gone to plan, but it sounds like you're doing a great job. So I'm just going to direct our listeners to your website, which is a beautiful website. It's Vintellect, so vintellect.com.au. Look, you don't have a lot of wines on there at the moment, but my goodness, the wines you have are sensational. So, keep your eye on that. And I love, and just checking out,
who's in your portfolio. Send you a trade list. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay, I will indeed.
Absolutely.
So, Lucy, thank you so much, hon. Wonderful to have you back on the Wine Show Australia. I will definitely get you back on again maybe in a year or so, and you can give us another update.
Thank you, Jill. I really appreciate it. See you soon.